Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning, we're going to look at a young man who asked God for wisdom and understanding and an understanding heart to be able to lead God's people. Maybe this is meant for our young people today that may think, well, you know, I'm young, I don't have a place yet in the service to God, but we all have a place, we all have a purpose, we all have a spot to fill for God. Solomon had a spot to fill for God. David was not allowed to build the temple because of the sin that David had in his life. He was not allowed to build the temple because he had shed man's blood being a warrior. But we thank God that God saw that Solomon would be able to build this, and he was left instead of his father to be king. He was a very young man at this point in time that we're looking at when God appears to him and God asks him a very important question, and he answers it in a very specific way. And because he did, God blessed him in many other aspects of his life. Because he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for fortune, he didn't ask for long life, but he asked for an understanding heart to be able to lead God's people. Today in our homes, we need an understanding heart to be able to lead our homes to the Lord, to be able to lead our churches in the direction that it needs to go, and be able to lead our communities and then our nation in the right path. It starts with prayer at home, praying to God and asking Him for the things that we stand most in need of, an understanding heart. But today we have many that are not having understanding hearts. We can't see what the other person is going through. We don't see the other side of the coin because we see it as we think it ought to be, and we don't see people's lives for how they are. Sometimes we don't know unless we've walked a mile in their shoes, but too many times we're not willing to even slip ours off to put theirs on to see what they're going through or the things that they're doing. God knew David's life. He knew his sins and transgressions, but still David was a man after God's own heart. That's why God didn't just cast him away, that he was still able to use him through all things. And still yet Israel looks at David as being their great king when they look back upon their kings. Now Solomon was allowed to build the temple. Solomon was a wise and prudent man all through his years until he allowed the pagan worships of all of his wives and his concubines to come in and mar his judgment. But at a young age, he asked for something that's important for us today to have. Young men, young women here in the church, I don't care if you're 2 years old or whether you're 20 years old or wherever you're at in your life and your walk, you need to have an understanding heart to be able to have judgment to discern the things that's going to face you, to make the right calls when the pressures of life come to you and face you, that you will make the right choices. And that's why it's so important for you to be in Sunday school. That's why it's important you be involved with the youth group, that you build a foundation, that you have friends that's built on the same foundation, so you know when you need help where you need to go to. And Solomon knew that he needed more than what was in him. He knew that he needed God's understanding. And today we need God's understanding as adults. We need it as kids. We need it as leaders of the church. We need it as leaders of our community to have a discerning and a understanding heart. In verse 5 it begins, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee." Now if we was given, you know, many times we see stories, old people find these lamps on the side of the road or in some junk store, and they start cleaning it up, and a genie pops out. And they go and grant them 3 wishes most of the time, the way the story goes. And people use those wishes because they want fame, they want fortune, and all these things. They want to be popular and all these things. But let me tell you, that God was asking Solomon, give him a blank check. Ask what you will, and what I shall give thee. This was for sure an answer that was going to come from God. He was asking Solomon to see what Solomon's heart would desire. If you had the same opportunity, if God spoke to you and said, just ask me anything that you want, what would it be that I would give you? What would be our answer? What would be our answer? Would it be, I want a better house. I want a new four-wheeler. I want a boat. I want this, I want that. Or would it be to have an understanding heart? Would it be closer to God that we could see the heart of God and the face of God for what He was wanting for our life as a church and as individuals? God wants us to succeed for Him. He wants us to reach the lost and be fruitful and have other Christians come in and hear the Word of God. But do we have an understanding heart? Do we try to see the other side? Or do we pass judgment quickly on what things that we see and face without knowing all the evidence. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. He realized that it was the mercy of God that allowed Solomon to be able to sit on his father's throne. That it was the promise that God had made to David, that he would have a son that would follow him and would be king over Israel. The promise that God made, that it would hold fast. The promises God makes to us are going to be, they are set in stone. If he promises, he's going to carry it out. When he tells us, when he gives us the answer, you can be guaranteed that God is going to deliver. But are we that steadfast in our conviction to God? Are we that steadfast in our commitment to God? Now our kids have took up a new commitment of having the youth choir and practicing and singing. They've took on a commitment, and we need to pray and help them to be able to see it through, that they stay together and that they sing their hearts out. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And there's nothing more beautiful in the house of God than young people. Now, you older folks are pretty too. But they're the heartbeat of the church that is going to continue on. The church of today. But they're a heartbeat that is going to continue going on. And they need help. They need to be taught. They need to be shown an understanding heart that they might be able to discern right from wrong. In verse 7 it says, And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. In essence, he is saying, I don't know all there is about being this king. There's a lot to this thing, and I don't understand it all. And you've made me king instead of my father David now, and I'm going to need some help. We don't know it all. And teenagers, I know you think your parents, they're just being hard on you and that they're just treating you awful and that you've got all life's answers. But, honey, the questions change. And you don't have all the answers. It seems like that you do, but listen to mom and dad, grandma and grandpa when they try to teach you. They've been there. They've made the mistakes. And also, parents, sometimes we've got to allow them to make mistakes. So they learn when they won't listen and they just got to go on headlong. And sometimes those lessons are hard and they're hard to set back and allow them to make them. But sometimes we're just set that way and it's the same way in our service to God. Sometimes we're dead set on doing it our way, not God's way. And we don't know how to go out or come in. And we're not considering the one that has the wisdom. But we see now that Solomon, he saw that he needed help. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. He realized the immensity of being king over this people that God had given him. He knew it was a great task. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? We need some prayers in our leadership in America that Solomon prayed as a young child to be able to discern and judge between good and bad, between service to God and service to man. If we serve God in the capacity that we are supposed to, we will serve man as well. And we will serve mankind better and to a greater capacity of love if we first serve God. Because God does have the answer. God has a perfect plan. In verse 10 it says, And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. It pleased him. How many times do we go to God selfishly in prayer? Deer hunters, you've been doing praying in the stand. Lord, just let a deer walk out this evening. I won't ask for another one all year. Just one. And them squirrels are all over your bait pile. Lord, I just wish that squirrel would leave here. Or could you just move him? It's getting cold. Could you make the sun move around there and get on me so I can warm up a little? There's a lot of praying goes on in tree stand. Whatever it might be that you're hunting. are doing things. Lord, just let me get one more hit. If you're playing golf, anybody prayed for a hole in one? Hey, tell me that's why a golfer takes two pairs of pants with him.
I just pray that I can hit the ball.
But how do we approach God? Do we, Jake, when you pray, do you expect you're going to hit the ball? You're praying amiss. If you ask God to be able to hit the ball, you better expect to hit the ball. You better expect to hit the ball. But it pleased the Lord because of what Solomon asked for. Maybe some of our requests sometimes, Lord, sitting up earth. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, thou hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. And when we get down to it in life, if we are saved, if we are saved, then we need to ask God for an understanding heart. That we can judge, that we can discern His word for what we need. So many people say, oh, I can't understand the Bible. It just is a mystery. I just can't understand it. Well, how much time have you put into it trying to understand it? When you get a new television set, most of the time you don't understand how to cut it on. They've hid the buttons now. They're on the side. But you study that thing out, you don't sit there and look at a blank screen, do you? You figure it out, or you hand it to your kids and say, could you turn on the TV, please? And they can figure it out. But you don't sit there and stare at it saying, oh, that's a mystery, I don't know how to turn it on. You figure out how to get it on. You figure out how to watch that television. You figure out how to change the channels. We got to figure out how to use the Word of God. We need to get into it and study and ask God for an understanding heart. Grant me wisdom as I study. Show me what you have for me today. Feed me from your word. Feed me from your meat that I may grow stronger and be able to have an understanding heart. Behold, I have done according to thy words. God answered. Down the middle ways of the verse. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. God told him, he said, I've given you an understanding heart to the point there's never been a man on the earth like you, and from your time forward there'll never be another one like you. That's a pretty good testimony of a man's life, to be a one and only. We're not copies. We're all original. There's never another one like Brad Wooten. And y'all said? Amen. Well, I was figuring you'd say, thank the Lord. But there's not another one exactly like you. We're all made different and special for God's purpose. Just as Solomon at this time, as Ron said, for such a time as this. God chose Solomon at such a time as that to be leader. He said, I've done that unto you. And there'll never be another one like you. There's not been one like you before, and there won't be one like after you, like you since. Now I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. All thy days. You know, when I went to Jesus and asked Him to save me, I didn't say, well, give me a home in heaven. No. I didn't say, give me gold streets to walk upon. That wasn't interesting to me. Give me gates of pearl and walls of jasper and all those things. That wasn't what I was asking for. I wanted Jesus to come into my life and save me. And when He did, He said, since you've asked for salvation and it's been provided and I've saved you, guess what? I'm going to give you life eternal. I've given you a home in heaven. We're going to be gathered with all my children, and you're going to have a street of gold to walk upon. You're going to have a foundation to the city of all manners of precious stone and all these things, and you won't need the light of the sun because my son's going to be the light thereof. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you all that just because you asked for my salvation. That's a pretty good deal if you ask me. a pretty good deal. He said, I'm going to give you all that besides. And Solomon, he says, because you have asked for wisdom, because you've asked for understanding, I'm going to give you all that other stuff. I'm going to make you a king of kings like nobody else has been all your days. And it says, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Now we know that Solomon messed up later on in life. At this point in time, he's the smartest man on the planet because God is leading him. God has given him understanding. We know later on that sin came in. The carnality of man came in and blinded his eyes to his walk. In verse 15 it said, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. He realized what had taken place. That he awoke up and realized the thing that was happening and went and offered sacrifice to God. What are we willing to sacrifice to God for our service to Him? God will give us an understanding heart. God will give us the knowledge of His Word. God has given us the keys to His kingdom to be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Savior. He'll give you discernment in the situations that you're facing, young people, that you'll have the right answer. That you can stand against the crowd that says, oh, go ahead and do this. Don't be a fuddy-duddy or a party pooper. Make the right choice in following God. And He will bless you far beyond what your friends will think bad of you because you was able to stand your ground. Sacrifice to God. Now we see in the next few verses that Solomon, as soon as he had awoke from his sleep and realized what had taken place and offered his sacrifice, Satan saw what was taking place, so he's going to test Solomon's wisdom and patience. There was two women, said two harlots in God's Word, that were living in the same house together, and they were the only ones in the house, and each one had a child. During the night, one of the ladies overlaid her child and had smothered it, and it had died. And during the night, she had got up and took her child and placed it beside the other mother and took her child and placed it with her. And when they awoke the next morning, the child was dead beside the other mother. But a mother knows her child, and a child knows her mother. They know their smell. They know their heartbeat. They know all these things, and the mother's heart was in distress because she knew that that was not her child. Once she considered it and looked and realized, she knew what had taken place. So they go before Solomon for judgment. Still a young man, but they go before him and tell the story of what had happened. Solomon thought for a minute. Now this is the wisdom of God intervening. Young man says, bring me a sword. So they brought King Solomon a sword. He says, divide the baby in half and give each mother half. Thought that would be a reasonable thing to do. But all the while he was using God's judgment. Because once the sentence was passed on what to do, the mother of the child said, no, do it no harm. Let the other lady have him and let him live. And the other lady said, no, let it be so. Go ahead and cut him in half. I don't care. He knew the true love of the real mother to that child could not allow harm to come. That she would rather see him be with another person than for him to die. God's wisdom at work very early on in his life. And God blessed him to make the right choices and right decisions. He was able to build the temple like we have never seen the brilliance of it on how it was built. For God's Spirit to indwell and be with Israel, His people. God will come in and fill our temple with His Spirit. This is the temple of God today, not this building. Yes, this is a holy place that's set aside, sanctified to the worship of God. But you are the temple. God's Spirit indwells you, and you bring Him with you when you come to church, and you take Him with you when you go on your way. Is He proud of the places you take Him? Lord, help. Is He proud of the things that we might say and do? Lord, help. But remember, wherever you go, wherever you walk, if you take God's Holy Spirit with you, you're taking God with you. How do we act when we think the preacher's not looking? I've had a lot of people say, oh, I shouldn't say that in front of the preacher. God sees you whether I'm there or not. God sees our actions whether anybody else does or not. The old question is, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a noise if no one's around? They even made a commercial about it. Now the trees are hollering as it's falling. If we sin and we think no one's seen it, is it still a sin? Yes, because God saw it. God knew it. God knew before we did it. But He still gave us opportunity not to do it. And He still gives us forgiveness. He still gives us forgiveness. Are we praying for an understanding heart this morning? Young people, it doesn't matter how young you are, you can be involved in church. God wants you in church. He wants you to be taught the Word of God, that you can have a foundation, that you can have a heart of understanding, that you can have compassion, that you can look at people and think about where they're coming from, the life that they're living, so you'll know what's going on and why they act the way they do. But still, as adults, I'm not going to say you're going to have all the answers, because none of us do, but God does. Rely on Him and pray for an understanding heart that you may be able to discern between good and bad. And God will be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll walk with you and make sure that you are strong enough to stand. And when all else fails, just stand on God's Word. You won't go wrong. Parents, are we praying for an understanding heart? Do we remember being young and being teenagers and trying our parents' patience? Do we see that they are trying to learn and grow? And that's a very hard lesson for us as adults, to see our kids come to the point where we have to let go. But no, if you let go, God's still holding on. If you train them in the way that they should go, God won't turn them loose. We have to trust what we've taught them. But if we've not taught them to pray for an understanding heart, we've not taught them to rely on God, I can see where we would be fearful. Solomon was relying on God. He knew the purpose that God had for him. If you're thinking about what's the purpose God's got for me, talk to God. He'll show you. Go to His Word. Read and study. Maybe you're here and you don't know God is your Savior. He wants to save you today. He wants to give to you the keys to heaven that you may enter in one day. You see, the choice was made a long time ago when man fell in the garden, that everyone's final place would be hell unless something happened. And one day, Jesus came, was born, raised, and at the age of 30 went to preaching and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary 3.5 years later, that we could be saved. Not only did He give His life on the cross, He also resurrected from the grave, ascended to the Father, and put His blood on the mercy seat, that each and every one that's in this building this morning can be saved. But you must trust Him. You must surrender to Him. You must ask Him to come in and set you free and become a servant to the Most High God. Not in bondage, but because of a want to please Him. And to give a speech to Him in our prayer that pleases Him. To see our heart and our love for Him and our love for others. Friend, if you're here this morning, you're lost, I love you. If I could get saved for you, I would, but I can't. That's an individual thing for each person. You must trust Him. I already have. Will you this morning, as we get a song prepared of invitation? If you're lost this morning, you don't have to remain lost. God knows exactly where you're at, and He's maybe knocking on your heart's door this morning. I remember being a young man there in church that night of revival, and I thought the whole church had to see my shirt, because when I looked down, it was moving in and out. I just knew people knew that I was the one that was in there that was under conviction. But God and I is the ones that knew. He was saying, come unto me. Come just as you are. And I'll save you. And I'll cleanse you. And I'll make you white as snow. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.